28th. Yes, in the year 2001, and we're visiting with Harold Collins. And you're just going to ask various questions. You don't have, it's good. It's just, it's a good sensitive microphone, and it only works when we talk. Right, so let's see. You told us a minute ago that you served on the school board.
Yes.
For how many years?
I went on the school board, this is what is in my mind. Well, I know it was 1956. I was elected in November of 1955 to go on the board the 1st of December 1956. And I served a six-year term. But I think when I first went on, Salisbury and New Hope weren't a jointure yet. Salisbury, I was on the Salisbury School Board with Ed Brown, Dave Johnson, the three of us, and New Hope was Don Hedges, Al Cryer, and I'm not positive who the third one was down there. But there were six people in the school.
Was Harold Bush on then? Mr. Bush?
Mr. Bush was a student with Sam and Sue.
But his father? Did his father serve?
Not on the school board.
Not on the school board, no.
But several people while I was on there during, then I was reelected 6 years later for another six-year term. And Bob Auchinbeck, Sue Tinsman, Linda Ricker.
Oh, Linda Ricker?
She was on the board, and another man, and I can't think of his name, lived down on the River Road below me. Quite a few people, different people during the 12 years.
Yes. I served on the school board also.
Oh, did you?
For 5 years.
Did you?
And I think I learned so much about how a public school is run.
Oh, yeah.
We had to hire a new superintendent.
In 1932, I think it was, 32 or 33, from Ohio, moved from Ohio. From Fredericktown, Ohio. My father was a farmer on the farm out there. Well, it was the same farm that his father had. And I studied agriculture in the high school, Fredericktown High School. Called the FFA, it was the Future Farmers of America. And I was on judging teams for judging agriculture, judging livestock like dairy cattle and workhorses at that time. Because we had workhorses on the farm to do the farming.
Now, who was it that came over before you to celebrate?
Oh, it was my sister. My sister met Miss where we moved to was out on the corner of Creamer Road and 263.
So the
Clinton
property.
Oh, the McClintocks, yeah.
Yeah, where the McClinton, well, Haberman was her husband's sister's name was Haberman, and they bought that farm. And then they wanted my sister and her husband to come out and live there. And then they wanted me to come out and manage the farm for them, which I did. But my sister passed away. She had to go for an operation. They took her up to Passaic, New Jersey, and she died after the operation. was only 29 years old.
Oh, no.
She was 2 years older than me.
What town in Ohio?
Rugged Town, which is Mount Vernon, is 11 miles south of Fredericktown. Mansfield was, we lived right on Route 13. Mansfield was 18 miles north of Fredericktown. Route 30 went right through Mansfield. So, well, if you take Route 30 through Pennsylvania, over the mountains and
on. Well, now, did you live at where Haverman's are? Did you live at that place?
Yes.
For how long did you form the place?
Well, I guess it was about 2 years or something like that.
And then you worked for Mrs. Cohen.
Yeah, well, I worked for, in the meantime, after I was there, I worked for Louise Holmquist at the home, had the girls' school.
Yes. Yeah.
She had a farm down on Chapel Road, and I farmed. She had a dairy. I did all the dairy work, and we had a milk route in New Hope, and I delivered the milk, which it wasn't a big dairy or a big milk route, but all the milk that we produced, I delivered on mostly on North Main Street and to the girls' school. I delivered, it was raw milk at that time, it wasn't pasteurized. And I had washed and sterilized all of the tools and everything. And then the Lambertville house, we delivered to the Lambertville house, but New Jersey passed a law during the time we were, that they weren't, restaurants weren't allowed to use raw milk. So we lost them as a customer.
How many cows did she have?
No, I can't. They were all registered Jersey.
There cow. Were Jerseys? There, oh, I'll talk to you about some. We don't have Jersey cows.
Yeah. And, well, let's see. Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
I can't recall exactly.
And, yeah.
Didn't, I milked them all and bottled all the milk and cooled it and bottled it. And then delivered it every day. It was pretty strict, yeah. Aunt Lyd Kistner, you've heard of Aunt Lyd Kistner? Bob Kistner's aunt. She lived there with her. And she had charge of the garden and strawberry bed. Boys from the dye boys from Lambertville used to pick strawberries and do that kind of work.
That must have been a lot of work.
Well, it was,
no one works harder in this world but a dairy farmer.
I had to get up early too.
You had two milkings a day.
Yes.
Then you had to cool the milk, strain the milk, cool
and
the milk,
deliver it.
And did you deliver horse and wagon or the truck?
It was with a truck, but I can't recall just what make a truck.
It doesn't make any difference, but it wasn't. It was.
You delivered the milk every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a full time job.
I would say it must have been 12 to 15 hour a day job.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And how long did you do this?
I only did it for 2 or 3 years.
Well, I would think that would be.
Then I after that, I decided to, well, I had had some experience in school when I was studying in the agriculture in building, well, like, we would do a project of building a chicken house or something for someone. I had some experience in carpentry, so After that, I got a job working with Bill McLeod during as a carpenter's helper, apprentice. I worked apprenticeship with him. And in those days, the building business slacked up for about 3 months in the wintertime. And if I couldn't get carpenter work, then I would look for another job on a farm or something. And,
married then when you first came?
Well, I was married. We were married in, February 23rd, 1934. Her father owned the farm right up, next farm up the hill.
Leland?
Yeah, Herb Palmer. And that's how I got acquainted with her. Her mother used to stop in to see the new neighbors and all and so forth.
And so when did you build this house?
I started building this house in 1946.
And you lived at these other places?
No, I lived up. I wasn't finished telling where I had lived. I lived, I worked for Bolts. I lived in Salisbury, what used to be the Walter Rex house, that gray house going down at the bottom. I lived there and I worked for Bolts, who had where the Honey Hollow Watershed has their offices in that big stone building. That big stone building stored the hay and grain. In those days, you didn't have a combine. You had a binder that tied the wheat up in sheaves. You took it in when it got dry, you set it in shocks, took it in and dried it in the barn, and then you thrashed it out in the thrasher. And if you wanted to bale the straw, you baled the straw there, you know. You didn't have a baler and went out in the field. I worked there until they caught Bolts from swindling. You didn't ever know? He was an investor. And he seemed like a very rich man. But he was paying people's premiums with other people's money. And he was making such big payments that he had people flocking to him to invest their money. And finally they caught him. And
was this in the 40s that this happened, or the Libby Road?
I guess it was the early 40s.
Yeah. What happened? He fled, didn't he leave the country?
Oh, I think they got him.
Did they get him?
Yeah, I think he was put in prison.
Oh.
But I don't remember exact charges. But he was a nice man.
Yeah.
He liked his employees.
Yes.
I remember Wayne McGill, who was Chess McGill's son down, came to me one time when I worked there, and he was looking for rich girls, what he was looking for. And he thought Bolts was rich, so he came and wanted to see if I could set him up a date. Bolts had one child, one daughter, who was about his age. And I said, no, I wasn't that close to her. I couldn't. Then he married a girl from down below New York. I forget who it was. Anyhow, was out mowing in a field and got stung by bees and it killed him.
Strange things happened back then. You know, people got sick and died.
And after that, I lived in that house. Bolts had bought the house for me to live in New Hope, or in Salisbury. Then after that, Ben Miller, who lived across the street, had always done little jobs for Mr. Kohler. Mr. Kohler lived in Salisbury, right across from the Episcopal Church. That old white, big white stone house. Well, he sold that, and he owned the farmer. He used to own Circle View Farm. Then he owned this next farm back here. He had his son-in-law fix the house up, and, all of the buildings. And he was going to marry Dorothy Ely. He married Dorothy Ely for his second wife. He had two children from his first wife, Charles and Betty. Betty married Bob Clark from New Hope. And then Ben Miller came to me and said Mr. Kohler was looking for someone to farm a place. So they had fixed a tenant house up over there. So we went over there and lived there. I worked there for 12 years, farmed for him, and we farmed mainly with horses. We did get a tractor a few years later. And Mr. Kohler died, and I stayed on and worked for Mrs. Kohler for 3 years after he died.
But Darth Kohler was a good friend of Dorothy Harkin.
Henry Hartman was a brother to Mr. Kohler's first wife.
Really?
I didn't
know
that. There was another, Paul Hartman, used to come and visit Kohler's after he was married to Dorothy.
I didn't know that.
I got to know him pretty well. He lives, I lived out west. I don't know if he's still living or not. But, he was sort of an investor. He traveled to other countries too. He was German descended. So I couldn't tell you exactly what he did. When on the school board, I think it was the, how much did we do?
Oh, we got about as far as 1940. You started building this house.
Oh, we were 3 years building the house. I did the carpenter work, laid the stone, and my wife did all the pointing in the stone, which was a tedious job.
Yeah, they practically built the house.
Jesus. Yes.
And we like it. we hate to think about ever leaving.
True. Was Comfort Road paved at that time?
It was a dirt road.
Was 263?
263, they paved earlier, a little earlier than that. It was a dirt road when I came to Pennsylvania.
It was 263?
Yeah. And I remember, I don't know if it was the first winter I was here, or the second winter, but it came from Ohio. The 263 was, we had terrible snowstorms. It was blocked for over a week. They finally brought heavy equipment from upstate in Pennsylvania down to open it up. The, of course, the equipment here, like Salisbury Township at that time, didn't have anything but a small dump truck.
Oh, right.
And I know the year I came out here, the township was looking for men to shovel snow. So a buddy of mine that I went to high school with hitchhiked out here to see me while he was here. This happened. He and I both got a job with Salisbury Township. John Shoup, who was Russell Shoup's father, Russell Shoup worked at the Quimby store. John Shoup lived over at Carter'sville. He got a bunch of us on this dump truck, and we would start to open up the road, and we couldn't get through. Then we'd pile off of the truck and shovel the road. That's how it was opened at that time in Salisbury Township.
About what year was that? Could that have been?
Pardon?
But what year could that?
That was early. That was 32 or 33. That was before I was married.
Yes. Well, that was a.
You mean they actually shoveled the road?
We'd be on the back of the truck, and he'd go as far as he could, and then he couldn't go. We would get off the truck and shovel the road. I remember doing
it. Would take forever.
Yeah, it did. And this one didn't get opened up for over a week. Out on the other side of Salisbury, where those banks are, that was just full down over there.
During the war.
During the Second World War.
Yeah.
And what were you doing then at that time?
I was farming.
You were farming?
Coal farm. And I got reclassified, but the war was over before they called me.
Yeah.
Did, during the war, the reason I'm going to ask this question is that our ninth grade history student at the high school and parked here. They're in Phoenix playing golf, or they're fishing, and they don't have close families. So when they get to World War II, have no one to ask what life was like at that time.
Yeah.
So for this purpose, if you could talk about World War II, about people that left and people that didn't come back, and rationing, what that was about. And victory party.
We had rationing.
A lot of rationing.
Gasoline was very expensive in those days. And my sister that died, her husband had just come out of the army. He was older. He had just retired from the army. I'll do a little thing.
You do some things. Right. It's just a question because the children don't know about rationing.
Lots of people had victory gardens because I had a victory garden at home. We had a victory garden for 2 years.
The government gave away free seeds. But gasoline was rationed.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar was rationed.
Yeah. Practically everything.
Yeah. Meat?
There were about New York City. There was a time about the only thing people could get was potatoes for food. Of course, a lot of was shipped to the army.
Now, during that time, were you a dairy farmer or a crop farmer?
Was it Mrs.
Kohler's? What did Mrs. Kohler have?
Well, we had crops like wheat, corn, and hay, and we had sheep for the bull. I used to shear the sheep to get the bull. And we had a couple of cows for our own milk, for our own use. And farmed mainly. We started out with horses, and later we got a tractor and farmed with a tractor. Johnson's, Dorothy Hartman's brother David, had orchards back there.
Oh, yeah.
Peaches and apples.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the name. Other farm where the orchard, peach orchard is now, was owned by Gene Roberts.
Oh, Roberts.
He was nephew of Ed Paxson.
Oh.
Ed Paxson owned, he had orchards back on the other side, too.
Were they specific kind?
Yes, sir. Belgians. Percherons. Clydesdale was the one that had the hairs down on his legs. Ones that the beer people advertise.
Yeah.
They're Clydesdale. When I first went to work for Kohler, Goodnow's in Newtown. Mr. Goodnow was going from horses to tractors. Of course, he owned all that where the shopping center is now. And he had his, Chess McGill told me about he had his horses for sale because he was selling him new tractors.
See. Oh, I see.
So,
who was selling the tractors? What was that man saying?
Chester McGill.
Is it the same McGills that we have here?
Same family.
Were they down in Newtown or were they up in Sober?
We're in New Hope. This side of New Hope.
Oh.
Where the bypass cuts off.
Right.
McGill's farm was, that bypass went through McGill's farm.
Right.
Those buildings on the right were where the lawnmower place is.
Yes.
That was where Chess McGill's business was.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. So they went from big tractors to little lawnmower tractors eventually.
Yeah, the people that bought it, yeah.
So then those horses that Goodnow had was for sale.
Yeah.
Now?
So we went down and bought the four horses.
What kind were they?
Well, there was one Belgian, and then there was, I don't know what the other one was, a mixture, I think. And then there were two Percherons, the gray one and the black.
Did people have preference, or have a John Deere than an Alice Chalmers tractor?
Yes, yeah. People did. They liked Belgian horses. If they liked, some people like Percherons and some like Belgians.
They're enormous.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
How would they get them from Newtown in a big truck?
They walked them up.
There was a colored man by the name of Jesse Mason that was a horse dealer in Lambert. We went through, and there's, I don't know which street it is now. Instead of going over and up the hill, there was a street come up in there.
Mm-hmm.
He had barns up in there, and he was a dealer in horses. And I think we got him to haul him up from Goodwin.
He had a truck then. He must have.
Yeah, he had trucks to haul. Haul horses.
Right.
Matter of fact, my oldest son, we hired him to haul, went to an auction and bought my oldest son's horse, and we hired Mason to deliver it here after the auction.
Was that Francis, what was the name? Marlon Francis horse auction?
I don't remember what.
Yeah, there is a big horse auction. I think his name was Marlon Francis.
Where?
It might be.
Buy a horse once.
Well, now, what when you left Kohler's?
I left Kohler's.
At the college.
I went to Bucks County Community College.
Oh.
And I was, I got a job at maintenance, and then I was promoted to superintendent of buildings and grounds at the community college.
Mm.
And I worked there for 12 years. I retired at the age of 67, and I had joined the Pennsylvania Public School employees. I did a retirement check from them. And as I retired at 67, I did a little larger Social Security check.
When you must have been at the college when, that's not, for that college isn't very old.
I went there, I was there when they built all those new buildings.
Those new buildings,
yeah. And, I've been retired 30 years. And so I was there 12 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Dr. Rollins was the president.
Yes.
And, this architect was on the board of directors.
So I mean, just going from a place where they milked cows and you delivered the milk.
Yeah. Yes, that
did.
Was before I was on the school board.
Oh.
Yeah. That was more or less like the agriculture part of it. But that was before I was on the school board. They had done away with that when I went on the school board.
But we were negotiating a contract. The ceilings in the place were so low, it was just an awful room. And I said, this is the worst room I've ever had to spend time in. And they said, this is where the tractors were brought in, that came around the east side of that school, and they came around and then under, and they were spreaders, and they had combines, and they had, and that's what
they used to, I forget what it was a shop, teaching, I think they taught agriculture at that time in Europe. School too, and that was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that
was part of the coursework.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I was on the school board, we dug. There was a part of that basement. Now I don't exactly. Used to be you came in the front door, the old front door. And then you turned right and went back a ways, and there was a room down below that wasn't in that much height. And we dug, when I was on the school board, we had that dug out. Maybe that's one of the rooms you're thinking of.
That's just.
Because they stayed away from the foundation, dug down, so nothing would settle in. And put something in. Block wall or something there to protect it.
You told me before, some the other year, how you perch up here when it was.
Oh yeah, under. Under the old church there.
Yeah.
We had a men's club that consisted of people from the Episcopal Church and men from the Friends, Salisbury Friends Church. Ed Short, Thelma Short's father, and, well, it was John Bauer, and Ed MacArthur's father, Bill Taylor.
Walter Rex, was he in that? Walter Rex? No, he wasn't in that group.
No, he wasn't. He was out with the... He didn't come to the club anyhow. We dug that out and poured a concrete floor under it and made a recreation room for, well, the men's club used to use it, the recreation room. Then later years, I don't know what they had down in there. But we dug that and wheeled the dirt out and out under the main steps. Went up.
This is the old church up here.
Yeah, the old church.
But I don't understand. I mean, the old church is 100 years old, and you're talking about digging out the church.
Just like a crawl space down there.
Oh, and you made it bigger.
We took it down deeper. So it would be headroom. Oh.
Now, what did this club consist of? What did you do? Would you meet weekly?
We met monthly. And, we played cards and.
What was the name of the club? Is it just
the club?
Club.
I think it was a men's club.
Just the men's club.
Yeah, because Salisbury Men's Club it consisted men from France and also from.
That was very interesting. I have never heard any reference. Salisbury Men's Club.
Year, but I'm just trying to think. They hate that church. They must have had just enough room to get a over.
I think there was basement under the hall, and there was a heater under there. Oh. I think.
Must have been. Yeah.
That's the way that was. This entrance under the old church was different from the other entrances, and that hall was built much later, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I know St. Philip's Chapel, there's a hatchway, and you've got room for, smells like oil a lot. You'll remember when we leave.
Well, I'm a member of the Cartersville Church. I have been for about 30 years now. I served on the, I've served on the Board of Deacons, also on the Board of Trustees, not at the same time, and I was on the building committee when they put the last new addition on over there. My wife had a picture here yesterday of Reverend Boyd, the minister at Barry's, Bill McLeod, Bill Taylor. I don't know where she put that. Connor.
And they lived here, they were.
They came from Delaware when they bought the farm up here. Her father farmed in Delaware.
Bless you. The flood of 1955.
Volunteered down at. Where the headquarters were in the high school building. I was a warden. What do you call it?
Oh, like an air raid warden?
Air raid warden.
Oh, you were an air raid warden?
Yeah.
Okay. That was something during World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And during the flood, I was stationed down in New Hope at the high school building. Worked out of there.
Okay.
That was just before I went on the school board.
When the flood happened, as far as the new library, the old post office and up.
There was a flood in 1938 too, when I was delivering milk. North Main Street was flooded. I remember that. I think that was 1938.
Yeah, it was a hurricane.
Yes, the 38. It was around Labor Day, wasn't it?
It wasn't as bad as the 55.
The 55 flood. Was the bridge in New Hope in 38? Was it the same bridge that we had now?
It's the same bridge, yeah. The
same Fort Bridge.
Mm-hmm. The one at Point Pleasant was washed out.
That was in 38?
I think
yes.
So.
I think
38 or 55, I'm not say for sure.
It was 38.
Was
it
Black
Bass?
When was the center bridge built across the Delaware? There was a wooden bridge there, but that was a long time ago.
No, I don't recall.
You don't remember that?
It was before I was out in the
center. Maybe around 1900? Well, I guess this bridge here is pretty old.
Well, when I drive across that bridge, because there's a sign that says, no horses allowed on the bridge.
Yeah.
Who on earth would take a horse across the bridge? I don't know. You know, who would? I don't know. I guess they were afraid the horse would jump in or something. I don't know.
I didn't want people riding horses across the bridge.
Well, they don't even want them walking across it. No. You can't ride your bicycle.
No, you can't ride your bicycle.
Scared to
yeah, well, especially if they meet cars, certain cars might scare them.
True. So most of the social life, you know, when you weren't working and you weren't at the Solbury Men's Club, that was some form of social life. But you must have had, did you have Grange fairs or?
Grange, yeah.
We had Grange and
Farmers Club.
Yeah, Solbury Farmers Club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my husband and I have been asked to join, so therefore we feel as though we have arrived socially. Yes? It's fun.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm not allowed to drive at night anymore, so I still have a driver's license for daytime driving.
Well, how long were you and Leela members of the Farmers Club? Pretty long time. You were there before we joined. 30, 40 years?
Let me check this tape.
30-some years, I think.
Yeah. And the Grange, too. You were in the Grange before Sue and I ever got in. Carversville
Grange. Carversville
Grange. Carversville Grange?
Yeah.
Is that still going?
No.
No, that's... He was the last master of the and all of the history that we had of it, the old
minutes for the meetings,
old minutes and everything, were turned over to Ned Harrington.
Yeah, he's got it.
And Ned Harrington, I think, was going to put them out in Doylestown. In the history out there.
Yeah, I think he's got them in the Spruance Library.
I think that's what.
Right. But we were hoping we would get copies of things. You know, things really have to be copied. We have, using the Spruance Library and using this library, you know, that there's a bunch of
the when I was on the school board, in the Stone Grade School. A lot of things were stored up in that attic, and I don't know whether they're still up there.
Where is this?
The one-room schoolhouse? The one-room schoolhouse that's on the corner?
No, later, the stone, not the old one-room school.
Yeah.
the next school that was built above it.
Oh.
I was on the board when they built that addition, but this right. was before. A lot of that stuff was stored up in the attic of that second
I see.
School. I don't know whether there'd be anything in history that you might want out of that.
I don't know which school he needs.
I know, you know, I do. You've got the one-room schoolhouse, and then you've got the elementary school. Well, the elementary school has
the not the little stone house.
No.
The next one up.
The next one up.
Was that was built? Those other additions were put on when I was on the school board.
The first little.
But yeah. I do recall them storing some things up in that.
We better check. There might be stuff up there sitting there all right. these years.
We will check. That's good. That's good.
Because some people, as generations change, throw away a lot of things that are valuable to
yes.
to older people, you might say.
Well, we just or heard, it, you know, McGill, what's his
Jim.
Jim McGill. Weren't we discussing this? At
That's
this?
Right.
You know, he moved to a home.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, is he in a home now?
Yes.
Yeah, and the things that were left in this house, not there, and he spit anymore, and he didn't clean. He had one of the best collections of old postcards.
No, he's a cousin of Joe McGill.
Yeah, we have to do Joe McGill. We should talk to Joe too. He knows a lot about the history of this area.
He could tell you about a lot about Jim McGill too, because he was his cousin.
Yeah.
You know who another one was? Was Bunch Hayes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Bunch Hayes. He had the Kodak store.